I want to set the stage for you of how today's Holy Gospel took place. In the days before today's Gospel, as we've heard in the past Sundays, Jesus has been to the Jordan River, been baptized and covered by the Holy Spirit, and if you remember, announced by his loving Father, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am pleased." After the baptism, Jesus headed into the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights, and while there, Satan tempted him, even to the point of offering Jesus the whole world. Now, it's important to remember that the devil is seen as the prince of this world, and he even used Scripture to try to tempt Jesus. Jesus stood firm and refused to cave. He would not and never did sin. When that time was ended, Jesus headed back to the Galilee, where he invited his disciples to join him, and he headed home, eventually, to Nazareth. But in between that time, it's important to see in today's gospel that Jesus taught in synagogues, he preached, he cared for the sick, he healed people. Before today's holy gospel, Jesus, along with his mother Mary and his disciples, attended the wedding feast at Cana, where Jesus performed his first recorded miracle. And I believe right after that miracle, he headed to Capernaum, where he began his ministry. He, if you remember, you may remember, in the synagogue there, he met the demoniac, the man possessed by a demon. And he struck the demon from him. But before doing so, the demon recognized him as the Son of God, and Jesus told him, "Don't tell anyone." And he drove him out. It was there also that he healed Peter's mother-in-law, because she got up and she served the entire crowd that was there. So much took place. But we tend to look at the Gospels as, okay, last week was this and this was this, and it had to be synchronized that way. I want you to understand the length of time that took place. It's thought that it could have been as much as a year to a year and a half before he returned to Nazareth for what we read today, when he attended the synagogue on that Sabbath day. Today's gospel reading, again, informs us that his reputation preceded him. News about him spread through the whole countryside. I want to suggest to you that in the 30 years prior to Jesus' baptism, that he had most likely spent preparation, time in preparation, silent preparation, study and prayer, in communion with his Father and the Holy Spirit. And after the trials in the wilderness, it was time for him to come ministering to the people that he was sent to save, the people of Israel. In this gospel reading, it was time to stand before his own hometown. He knew everybody there, and they knew him. Isn't it like that in Douglas? How many times can you go into a place and people recognize you, or you're standing with somebody who's been here all their life, because I've only been here a year and a half. But it's amazing who knows who and who's related to who. There's a lot of Lots. There's a lot of Tanners. There's a lot of Evans. There's a lot of Vickers. My goodness, there's a lot of people. Well, think about it, in a town that was no bigger than the size of a football field. That's a real close hometown. And when Jesus opened the scroll, which as we read was his custom, what happened next was not what the people were expecting. Let me just take a time out here for a second. This is a two-part sermon. Why? Because today's Holy Gospel left off as a cliffhanger. No pun intended. You'll hear it in a minute. Next week, how the people reacted and what they reacted to. I'm going to give you some coming attractions to that, but there's too much to talk about in one sermon. And because the gospel continues next week, so will we. The first words that Jesus spoke when he opened the scroll was declaring who he was, declaring that he had power of the Holy Spirit. The Greek word dunamai means power. Recognize the root? Dynamo, dynamic, dynamite. John the Baptist, remember what he said in our sermon just a few weeks ago when he baptized Jesus? He recognized him as the Messiah. He said, I would not have known him except that the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, the man on whom you see the Holy Spirit come down and remain is he who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. That's John 1:33. Now, by Jesus taking and opening the scroll of Isaiah that was handed to him and opening to Isaiah 61, and we're going to open up our pew Bibles right now so we can read along with what Jesus read. I'd ask you to turn, please, to page 1159. 1159, it's Isaiah chapter 61. And you'll see the year of the Lord's favor as the subtitle. He began by these very telling words. The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Now, he left off there. Ironically enough, he stopped in the middle of the verse without reading the rest of that line, which says, and the day of vengeance of our God to comfort all who mourn. Now, Jesus was also referring to Isaiah 58:6. You don't need to turn to it. To loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set oppressed free and break every yoke. And then Jesus added something after he sat down. Now, every good rabbi, when they're about to teach, sat down in the first century. They taught sitting down. The implication is very clear as he says, today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Yeah, Jesus was claiming to be the Messiah who could bring the kingdom of God, which had been promised for so long. But this was not Jesus' time to declare judgment. And that's why he omitted the day of vengeance of our God. Even still, the crowd was fascinated at him, at his teaching. The eyes of everyone were fastened upon him. Jesus' words plainly stated that the offer of the favorable year of the Lord, the fact that the kingdom of God was being made available to them through him. He was referring to the Jubilee. Every 7 years was a Jubilee. And every 7 year, debts were forgiven. People returned back to their homelands. Amazing things. He was saying that God was doing something special. And that he was coming to heal people, to bring the good news of God's message for his people. And they were marveled, as we'll read next week. They were amazed or marveled. The Greek word is ethomazon, at the gracious words from his lips. Sometimes people have understood this simply to mean they were amazed that he was a really good speaker. But immediately after the verses of today's gospel, they began to question the authority by which this man could say things. Now, I used to think that the crowd got unruly because he said, and this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. And they may have. But something else happens. And I'm going to give you some coming attractions, the rest of this gospel story that we'll read next week. After the verses, they questioned the authority. They knew, how could Joseph's son, the boy they saw grow up in their town, be the Messiah? They just couldn't connect the dots. In next week's gospel reading, the continuation of this event will give us the outcome of Jesus' visit to the synagogue to the point of the people of Nazareth, his hometown, wanting to kill him. So what was wrong with what Jesus said? What made these people that he'd known all their life kick him out of the synagogue, as we'll read, try to hurry him out of town, and even to the point of taking him to the edge of the cliff to throw him off of it? It's not that they disliked his delivery of the word. They thought it was eloquent. But the decisive part is Jesus' comments to these people. What was wrong with what he was saying? He will go on to make points about the two great prophets, Elijah and Elisha. And by doing so, he will identify himself with those prophets. Elijah was sent to a widow, but not a Jewish widow. Elisha healed a leper. And the leper was the commander of the enemy's army. That's what did it. It wasn't Jesus saying, today the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing, that drove them with anger and hostility. It was because Jesus was saying that God was rescuing both Jew and Gentile. These people were waiting for God to liberate them from their pagan enemies, not for their enemies to be saved. If you've been with me on Wednesday nights the last 2 weeks, we've been looking at the Nativity story. A while back I said, what were some things that you wanted to learn about? One was about the temple, one was about the area, and then lastly was about the Nativity story. So we took it and took 2 weeks to look through it. The Romans were killers. They taxed you till you had no more. They abused people. They took their children to pay unpaid taxes. They took their animals. They took their land. These people had it up to here with their oppressors. And all they asked was for freedom. And here this kid from their hometown is coming in and telling them something different. Jesus chose the passage, Isaiah 61, in which he quotes about the Messiah. Throughout Isaiah are pictures of this mysterious anointed person who will perform God's will. He speaks of Israel being called to be a light of the nations. Anytime you read in the Bible the word nations, it's not talking about Israel. It's talking about the Gentiles. The suffering servant spoken of by Isaiah in chapter 53. It's amazing. I'm going to ask you to turn back to page 1147, Isaiah 53, and we'll begin with verse 4. We'll read verses 4 and 5. Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering, yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. Jesus came not only to save the lost, but to save people from suffering of an eternal fire, and to save people who God loved. And God loves everyone. Gives an opportunity for people to receive that. By his stripes, by his wounds, we are healed. He took our iniquities. He took our sin upon himself. We talked about during Jesus' baptism last week about a priest, as in Zechariah in the temple. The priest would put his hands on two goats. He'd take one goat. One would be sacrificed. The other one would be sent out with the sins of Israel into the wilderness, called a scapegoat. The son of a priest, Zechariah, laid hands on Jesus in the Jordan River and thereby connected him with our sins. He took them to the cross. He did not come to inflict punishment on the nations, but to bring God's love and mercy to them. Do you know what mercy is? Mercy is not receiving what you deserve. Do you see the connection? Jesus' claim to be reaching out with healing to all people was not what most first century Jews wanted or expected. And Jesus warned that unless they could see this was the time for their God to be gracious, unless they abandoned their futile dreams of a military victory over their national enemies, they would suffer defeat themselves at every level, military, political, and theological. And from 66 to 70 AD, Jerusalem was destroyed, the temple was destroyed, and even the people at Masada were destroyed. Jesus' challenge and warning to them brings about a violent reaction. Next week, we will further examine what happened on that Sabbath day in the synagogue at Nazareth. We will see and hear about a surprising measure of God's mercy and grace for all people. And we will see the reaction of Jesus' hometown to their beloved son. Next week, we'll uncover the rest of the story. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.